T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more Boston Sports Talk. Gresh and Keith on EEI.
They swing it to Bourne. This is a pass. Bourne! He's got Aguilar! Touchdown! They fake the handoff to Myers. Screen to Bolden. He's got the catch. He's got momentum. And Bolden has a touchdown! To the end zone. And it is juggled and caught for his touchdown! Hunter Henry! It's a gift to Taylor. And Taylor goes in for his first NFL touchdown. And he's in for the touchdown. Just enough for J.J. Taylor. And it's a 50-burger for the Patriots on the Jets.
That's the sounds from Gillette Stadium yesterday, where the Patriots roll the Jets 54-13. It is Hour 3, Gresh and Keefe on this Patriots Monday. We are going to get to the Red Sox coming up inside 10 minutes from now. But Patriots beat the Jets, and it was the first time all season that the Patriots really laid the wood to somebody. Jonnu Smith and Devin McCourty did get injured, didn't play much, if at all, in the second half. And, Keefe, I think a part of the struggle for some is it feels like Bill Belichick is all in on balancing development and winning. And it's the... we want to develop everybody just enough to kind of keep winning enough to keep everyone satiated, but not completely go into the, well, just roll the young kids out and see what happened mode.
Well, because I think the other part that we're all getting used to is not just the rookie quarterback. I think we can all wrap our heads around, oh, it's a rookie quarterback, but there's so many new guys to the team. Like, it is a massive overhaul. Think about offensively. There can be times where you look in the huddle and there's like three guys from last year's team. And even defensively, you know, there's a times where there's a whole bunch of guys. Now they have a little bit more that they brought back, but still there's such an overhaul. And yeah, some are young and some of the guys are rookies, but even still a lot of guys playing for the Patriots for the first time. And I think maybe we take for granted, like, all right, they're pros, right? They're veteran guys. They should be able to pick it up, but it could be a little bit of a building process throughout the year.
Yeah, and I think that it was everything was kind of tied in a lot of ways, I think, for a lot of people into the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Mac Jones will join Maloney and Fourier coming up at 2:30 this afternoon here on Patriots Monday. But it was if the quarterback plays well, then the rest of everything else should fall into place and this team should be okay. And I'm a big Mac believer. We all know that. But we haven't let a show saying, oh, yeah, the kid was the problem. And therein lies, I think, the rub for a lot of fans in that, well, wait a minute. I thought the quarterback was the problem last year. And this year the quarterback doesn't seem to be the problem. So why are we having problems? And you can get your mind kind of tied up into a pretzel.
There was a lot of problems last year.
It hasn't been great this year. But it also has not been anywhere near the disaster that it was last season.
Quarterback-wise?
Any-wise. Even in any game. Like, they have been in every game this year. We have not watched this team and thought, well, they're helpless out there. They just can't do anything.
No, and if anything, you know, you have the two close losses to the good teams. So you have sort of the moral loss, right? Because last year, first three games, it was kind of similar because they started the year 2-1, and the one loss was to Seattle. You didn't realize how historically bad the Seattle pass defense was, so you convinced yourself that was a good loss. Remember, that was the first time I think we ever talked about in Belichick history. Good loss. Now, he wasn't saying that, but we were. And now that sort of happened because the problem with last year, too, was it was a bad year with no future. Whereas this, even if they go 500, you can see where the future is. Mm-hmm. And because going back to the quarterback. But there's still potentially, you know, an avenue here where you can have both. You can be playing for the present while developing your future. And you can be better in 22 and in 23, but it's not a waste throwaway year. Right, at least that's the hope.
Totally agree. And this has little to do with Mac's first 300-yard passing game. Mm-hmm. This is more of the way this kid has run the offense, the way he's looked in the pocket, the fact that he has gotten foobarred multiple times this year, and it has not changed him in the pocket. If there is one fair critique of all of these rookie quarterbacks, outside of Lance, because the guy's hardly played, although we'll see.
Yeah, he might get that
supposedly job. San Francisco's waffling. And
he's hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt, yeah. And that nailed him too. But when you see a lot of these rookies, man, it's the they're peeking, they're looking around. It's the where's the rush coming from? With Mac, there has been none of that. In fact, the Patriots have scored 76 points in the last two games. Now you can take that for whatever it's mm-hmm. worth. But Mac Jones is 39 of 57, 537 yards, four touchdowns, and an interception. And Mike Reese had the nugget from ESPN that Mac Jones was 11 of 11 for 137 yards on throws between the painted numbers, including both of his touchdowns. That is the second most such attempts without an incompletion by any quarterback in the last two seasons. And the point of bringing that up is that I think we're starting to now graduate from the, okay, can he be good category. To me, Mac Jones has now shown us enough that we can start to trust him a little bit more. I think the coaches are trusting him a little bit more. And I know that there's going to be all of the different ways to try to tear the guy down
right. Because
he's young. But if you watch him compared to the other rookie QBs,
well, those guys
it's not
are
even close.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and I'll even throw in Davis Mills just because he's played, all have more interceptions than touchdowns. Trey Lance has more, but again, he's had far fewer opportunities, so we'll see what happens with him.
We can pull him out of the list.
But right? It may also not be surprising that Trey Lance and Mac Jones are in clearly the two best situations, because I think Mac Jones can only do so much. If you put him in Houston, or if you put him in Jacksonville, if you put him with the Jets, I don't think people would be saying, like, hey, we're in good shape here. Like, I think this guy would be not putting up the same numbers. I think it'd be really difficult to do that.
I think one of the things that gets lost in Mac, and I know we're going to get to the Red Sox here, but one of the things that gets lost is there was a guy on Saturday named Richard Seymour who went into the Patriots Hall of Fame. And you and I, in discussing Richard Seymour, even yesterday with Wiggy, had noted Seymour didn't get on the field early as a rookie. It was a smattering here and there, but he really didn't start settling in. I think he started the final eight of that 2001 season.
I was gonna say, the Super Bowl, I mean, he played nose all year,
that's right?
Yeah, yeah.
So not only was he playing a little bit out of position, but that it took some time, right? And when you looked at the numbers, it was, okay, Richard Seymour turned out to be a big force in the second half of the year. Mac Jones walked in to a camp, admittedly against Cam Newton, so whatever one of competition you call that, call it competition. Mac Jones walked into a training camp where the head coach has, for a 20-year period, been notorious. Maybe an undrafted rookie free agent gets on the field. Few rookies play right away here, and this kid did at the most important spot that people focus on the most. And to me, that gets lost in all of this, because I would dare say this: in a competitive situation, I don't think any of those other rookie quarterbacks have it in them to impress this guy down here to the point to where not only you would name him the starter, but cut the guy he was competing against.
So I disagree, only because Mac Jones beat out Cam Newton. It's similar to how we started today's show. Is like the Patriots beat the Jets, so there's only so much you can get excited about. He beat out the guy who was probably the worst starting quarterback in the NFL last year. So bad that Mac Jones yesterday just surpassed Cam Newton's season total for passing touchdowns from a year ago. And Mac Jones is like 20th in the league in passing touchdowns. Not even like he's lighting the league on fire, and still he's past where Cam Newton is. So no, I think Mac Jones has surpassed where I thought he was going to be. I do think, to me, what he's done is he's risen the floor. Like, I think the Mac Jones floor is pretty good. And you're like, all right, this guy, like, he's not swimming in it. He's not
freaking
out.
He's not Justin Fields running around with no clue.
But then there's that other level, too, like, where you kind of go even further. And I think you're seeing it with Herbert and Burrow, like, two guys that showed flashes of it their rookie year and now even – and they were great their rookie year and now are even better this year. Like, I wouldn't put him on that path, but he's at least checking all the boxes to this point. And in a year where there was five first round quarterbacks, he's the only one who's been pretty consistent throughout the year.
We will talk about everything football with Peter King tomorrow, who joins us at 10:45. Not only will we get some intel on the Deshaun Watson situation, but Peter's thoughts on Mac Jones as well. All right. I know it went down Friday night.
Uh-huh.
We got to get to it.
Hey, Martha Giamatti, who wrote about the game of baseball, it breaks your heart. It is designed to break your heart. The game begins in the spring when everything else begins again, and it blossoms in the summer, filling the afternoons and evenings. And then as the chill rains come, it stops. It leaves you to face the fall alone. You count on it and rely on it to buffer the passage of time, to keep the memory of sunshine and high skies alive. And just when the days are all twilight, when you need it most, it stops. And summer is gone. And so is another Red Sox season.
It's a beautiful game to watch.
Me and Jim Carrey used to live. But that is...
Now, me and Jim Carrey.
That's how they should end every season with the Red Sox. My God, what happened to them? What happened to the Red Sox? They scored 3 runs in the final 3 games of the ALCS.
I mean,
that's unbelievable. They scored 22 runs or 21 runs in between game 1 or 2, I'm sorry, 2 and 3. Just those 2 games alone, they scored 20 plus runs and they hit 3 grand slams. Everyone's like, "Oh my God, that's awesome. Kike Hernandez can't get out. Oh my God, every guy homers." They couldn't get a hit.
They had like 8 hits the rest of the series or whatever it was.
So bad. Yordan Alvarez in the final 3 games had more runs scored and runs batted in than the Red Sox. And like by far, like he smoked them. I couldn't believe it. And then I still am confused about Luis Garcia, the game 6 starter for the Astros.
Yep.
I'm confused by a lot of things. One,
John already cut that.
Yeah, I'm confused by anything. But as it relates to this, I'm confused by even more. So in game 2, he gets hurt, right? And then that allows Jake Odorizzi 2 days to warm up. Mm-hmm. So was Garcia, did he have to miss time? Nope. He made his regular rotation, and he came back stronger than he's ever been before. He was throwing 3 miles an hour faster on average. And I forget what they were saying on Twitter, like, the 10 fastest pitches of his life were all in that game. And you got idiot Smoltz telling us, well, he moved his foot like a half inch. Oh, that'll do it. Hey, move your foot over a little bit. All right, now you're throwing heaters. Like, come on. What was that? And I don't know what it was. You know, I don't know if he had a special grip on the ball that he wasn't supposed to or what. But does that make any sense?
No.
He's already pitched in the playoffs, so it can't just be like, oh, he's juiced up for the playoffs. He's been that's not even the juice I mean.
No,
he's been like fired up for it, and he's throwing absolute heat, and they couldn't get a hit off him. The guy was throwing a perfect game or a no hitter for the longest time after Valdez the night before was throwing, or 2 nights before was throwing a shutout forever. Like, that's unreal.
Is it as simple as going back to game 4 and the umpiring of Laz Diaz that kind of changed this series, at least in that game? Whereas if you're the Red Sox and you win that game 4 and it's 3-1 and you're at home,
yeah, how do you
feel kind of, you feel very different about that. I don't want to say that the ump cost the Red Sox the series because they still had plenty of at-bats where they sucked pond water and couldn't get a hit to save their life.
I blame Laz Diaz more than I do Eduardo Rodriguez for pointing out a fake watch. I know a lot of people are on that one, too.
To me, that is so...
I don't know. And
superficial,
you know,
shallow and pedantic analysis, that is.
I might buy into that if the Astros immediately hit the crap out of it to start game four, but they didn't score a bunch of runs till later. It's like, so it motivated them so much so that they went 0 for their first three at bats, like through the, and then they scored all those runs. So I'm not buying that one. It's just so frustrating. And yet to play all the way to game six of the ALCS is something that nobody at the beginning of the season would have ever have imagined from the Red Sox.
And yet the
roller coaster that they took us on, it got to the point, you eliminate the Yankees, you eliminate the Rays, you're like, yeah, they're going to beat the Astros. And they're up 2-1, nobody can get out on the bases, the pitching was coming together, and then they just melted down, and that lineup all went cold at the same time. Oh my God, was that frustrating?
That's the part that I don't understand from this offensive standpoint, is that it feels like that when they went cold, the whole lineup went cold, right?
It was
ice cold. And that's the part that is shocking to me because normally you have a couple of guys that end up staying hot, maybe even to the point to where they carry it for a game or two if the rest of the lineup kind of hits that speed bump. But, man, it felt like when they hit a speed bump offensively, it was flat tire, get to the side of the road. You need to change it before you can even think about getting back on the road again.
And I like Kyle Schwarber, but he was horrible in the ALCS. He had a .120. Hunter Renfro was probably the worst at bat throughout the entire series.
Bogarts only hit .192.
Bogarts, yeah, you're right. He hit .192. Renfro went 1-for-16 in the series and hit into, was it 4 or 5 double plays?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, can't have that.
Alvarez and Gurriel were the two guys that in the end really killed the Red Sox.
Yep. And also, you know what was sneaky? Just a massive hit was in the Laz Diaz game, but pre-Laz Diaz, the Red Sox were up 2-1, and they had Whitlock on the mound, and then Jose Altuve smacks a dinger to tie it. And you're like, all right, well, tie game. They got to score another run, but it never happened. And like that was one where, I don't know, you're feeling a lot different.
Yet, Game 6 American League Championship Series, they drove us nuts. They caused us to lose our hair. They caused us to take the cheese, to throw up the cheese, to take the cheese again.
Puking cheese.
To be puking cheese once again by the end. But when you go to Game 6 of an American League Championship Series, at the end of the year, the only thing you can really call it is successful.
Yeah, the year itself was successful. Right, but again, if you just watch it from afar, you're like, oh, my God, unbelievable. But then when you just seem like missed opportunities, you should have put away the Astros. And it's funny how it all changed, too. Like, all of a sudden, game six, you see all over Twitter, well, the Astros are the better team. They're the better team. Of course they're the better team. It's like, really? When Lance McCullers went down.
Right.
If Lance McCullers was there, I might be on board with you. But it was, first of all, the win total in the regular season was pretty close. And the series that they were both coming off of, I thought it was advantage Red Sox. We had Buster Olney on, who knows baseball better than anybody. And he was like, yeah, this Astros pitching staff, it's going to be tough for them to overcome it.
Yet their bullpen is arguably what won them the series. And it wasn't so much about the
fact. Those two starters at the end, though, Garcia and Valdez.
And I mean, of those guys came out of the bullpen, though, right? Like,
they were starters, but either way.
Right. I know it gets a little funny.
Well, they had two Garcias, too.
Well, that's the other thing, too. So you got to figure that out along the way. But they did get great starts. But it was, you know, again, the bullpen did the job when they needed to. That was the weakness that I thought the Red Sox were really going to be able to attack. And in the end, they really couldn't. But you look at this team, and now there are some key decisions that have to be made. And is the cup half empty or half full with this group? So if you think of how many of these guys are going to come back next year, I think you feel pretty decent about the pitching. We'll see what happens with Pivetta, but you got Hauk, who looks like he's going to be a starter next year. They do have a lot of bullpen arms signed, but they also signed Matt Barnes, who wasn't on the roster. So I think there's still more rebuilding on the bullpen. and you look around the infield and whether, you know, if they keep Schwarber, which I hope they do.
Yeah, I don't know.
You feel decent about Dahlback. Like, you can piece together the lineup again next year. But the question really is, where's it kind of going from here? And how do the young guys factor in?
Yeah, I kind of want them to have a team that actually has guys playing the position that they play.
Like, well, that'd be a start.
You know, like, Schwarber I like, but I don't think you can have Schwarber and J.D. Martinez. Right? So if J.D. Martinez opts out, then sign Schwarber. If he opts in, I don't know, you think you might have to lose him. Because I don't want a non-first baseman at first base. I think that eventually will bite you in the ass. And I also, let's get an outfield that can catch the ball a little bit.
Well, would you rather have, if it comes down to Schwarber or Renfro, who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Schwarber. But...
but that means you put him in the outfield or...
Yeah, and I get, like, so then you're talking about Verdugo in right and then Schwarber playing left. I guess maybe, but Renfro's under contract for cheap, so I mean...
Oh, yeah, he's an arbitration guy, I think, so you got him for a couple more years.
And even, like, Kike, he's a tough guy to figure out. He can play a couple of positions for you. You know, he had that one missed ball in center that kind of bit him a little bit.
Is it really tied into what J.D. Martinez does? Because if Martinez removes himself and says, I'm going to go into free agency,
see you later,
then that makes it easier for the Red Sox to at least make the decisions on the existing roster.
Right.
Then there are, what do you want to sort of go purchase in free agency?
And will Heim Bloom spend money in free agency?
That's another good question. Because I don't think let me say it the right way. He'll have money to spend.
Yeah.
I don't think resources would be the issue.
No.
It's does he want to?
Is that the mindset, though, for them? Or are they going to try to find a bunch of other, you know, Renfro, Kike Hernandez, guys like that?
Oh, there'll be some long shots. I think that is one thing that both the Red Sox and the Patriots have in common is...
They'll take a chance.
Like Sean Wade. Sean Wade is here on the Patriots for some reason. And it's not because they want to hoard him in concussion protocol. It's because clearly they think he can play, and even though he might be a long shot, but that's where both those organizations have the, sure, we'll take a flyer on this guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because ultimately it doesn't hurt you. And if you hit one,
right.
Oh, you're a genius. Look at that once again.
Uh-huh.
We will get to what happened in the NFL because a lot did go down, and Thomas Edward Brady Jr. is a big part of that. But first, here is Christopher Charcuterie Shime, ready to trend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Didn't get to sit on the couch for 12 hours on Sunday? Well, here's
what happened
yesterday in the NFL.
Woohoo! Boy, here we go. Week 7 in the NFL. A lot of people are calling it Bye-mageddon because 6 teams were on the bye. Bills, Cowboys, Vikings, Steelers, Chargers, Jaguars.
What's up with that?
So back-to-back weeks, by the way, the Patriots are going to be facing a team off the bye.
Yeah, very odd.
I don't care for that one bit.
I don't either.
But let's check in first on Tom Brady, shall we?
What happened?
I set another milestone.
Brady motion left to right. We move right to left. Here's Brady's pass. Quad ball. Touchdown, Mike Evans. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons. Where are you?
That's a great catch, and now it's the 600.
Where are the cannons at? Well, the cannons were going off a lot because the Bucs blew out the Bears 38-3. No Gronk, no Antonio Brown, no Richard Sherman. None of it mattered. Tom Brady, only 211 yards. That's all he needed. 4 touchdown passes. This game was 35-3 at the half. 35-3 at the half.
Wow. They smoked him. And Mike Evans, you know, good call by you and Shime on the...
If Mike Evans has a bad week, you know the next week Brady's going to feed him because he's not going to let anybody get too unhappy throughout the year.
Yeah, and so Mike Evans had 6 catches, 76 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Chris Godwin, by the way, 8 for 111 and 1. So I guess AB gets to eat next week for Tampa since he was out. He gets to come back and put up numbers.
True. He's been better, I think, as a per-game basis, but he's missed a couple of games already, Antonio Brown has.
Because with Evans and Godwin having big games, I don't know who you would go to on that. But Tampa just...
By the way, 44-year-old Tom Brady leads the NFL in passing yards and passing touchdowns. He has 21 touchdowns already to go along with just 3 picks.
Now, by the way, on the Greg Hill Show earlier this morning, J. Charles Wiggins said Justin Fields would be better running this offense than Mac Jones. And Justin Fields had 3 picks and 2 fumbles, apparently, yesterday.
Only one of those picks was even his fault. So thank you very much for tuning into my TED Talk.
Yeah, here we go.
I will let's apply that energy to Mahomes, Shime. All right. How about Mahomes's?
That's fine. He has 9 of them.
Listen, Shime's going to go down hard with this Justin Fields one. And
let me flip it real quick. How do you think Mac Jones would do with the Bears?
He would be marginally better, but not by much.
They're pretty bad. Yeah, yeah.
But you know what Justin Fields is learning?
What's that?
All the stuff that's going to make him a bust. He's staring at the rush. He's looking. He's not staring at anybody.
Yeah, he's trying to find an open receiver. Allen Robinson can't get open. He's
running for his life.
His coach knows what he's doing. You know what? He's running for his life, and he's developing.
He's under center as a guy who's been able to run the football better than just about any other. He ran a 4.440, and yet
right.
he's sticking under center every single
time. Here we go.
We are moving on from the Justin Fields conversation. There was a lot of blowouts on Sunday, but we have a close game here. Dolphins-Falcons.
Hey, what happened?
Not a great game, but it ended like this.
Younghoe Koo for the Falcons' victory, and he nailed it. Atlanta wins as time expires in Miami.
30-28, your final. The Miami Dolphins fall to 1-6. One in the win column was week one against your New England Patriots.
It's like that loss is like herpes. It is never going away. Yeah, seriously, we're going to be talking about
away.
It forever.
It kind of comes back. Well, they don't actually lose it. But Pitts, meanwhile, rookie Kyle Pitts, 7 catches, 163 yards.
He's had 2 back-to-back games where he's actually looked halfway decent. And the Falcons are 3-3. Mm-hmm. Now in the NFC, that doesn't get you much.
Let's look at some more of these big AFC matchups, including the Chiefs and Titans.
What happened?
Oh, boy, what did happen? Let's start with... a play you don't see every day from the Wild King offense.
Michael Pruitt has entered the lineup. He and Swaim are tight to the right. Titans offset the eye to the right. Now going in motion, Tannehill. Direct snap, Henry. He throws in the end zone. Man is wide open. Caught. Touchdown, Titans. Michael Pruitt. The Titans go to the King Cat. The King has thrown for a big 6.
Damn it. King Cat.
That's okay.
I screwed that up. The King Cat.
It's like Big Cat.
Derrick Henry had more touchdown passes in the game than Patrick Mahomes as the Titans beat the Chiefs 27-3.
Insane.
Tennessee, who lost Tennessee lost to the Jets.
They
have beaten the Bills and the Chiefs. They are 5-2. And Kansas City, after 7 weeks, has the same record as the Patriots at 3-4.
How about this for the Kansas City Chiefs? They give up 29 in a win to the Browns. They give up 36 in a loss to the Ravens, 30 in a loss to the Chargers, 30 in a win over the Eagles, 38 in a loss to the Bills. They give up 27 to the Titans, but they held football team to 13.
All right. Is anybody ready to say the Chiefs miss the playoffs?
Yep. They are missing the playoffs.
You guys I'm both think sure. they are.
The Patriots might have a better shot at the playoffs than the Kansas City Chiefs.
How about the
might
next?
Have.
How about yeah,
come on, pick a lane,
well,
Sean.
You know what? How about the next 4 weeks? Okay. Here it is for Kansas City. They're playing the Giants.
Bounce okay. back.
Win.
They host Green Bay.
Oof.
They go to the Raiders, and then they host the Cowboys before the bye.
Wow.
They are going to give up.
The Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs?
4-7?
They're going to give up 30. They're giving up 30 a game. I mean, seriously, like Patrick Mahomes now has the hardest job in football. If he doesn't score 35 a week.
He didn't score six.
His team is screwed.
The guy
that hit he took at the end of the game, too, looked brutal.
He's getting smacked around there.
And by the way, for the Chiefs after the bye, Broncos, Raiders, Chargers, Steelers, Bengals, Broncos. Other than the suckbag Broncos, who are terrible, Raiders, Chargers, Steelers, Bengals, good luck.
A.J. Brown had a good game after being food poisoned this week. He had eight catches, 133 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, the trots.
He did. Oh. He certainly did. Let's go to a massive game in the AFC North, Bengals-Ravens.
What happened?
I think we have a new front runner for the Offensive Rookie of the Year. A
lot of noise. Good blocking on the screws. Chase. Oh, there he goes! He had him in a blender, and he's off to the races. This will be six. What a play! 82 yards.
Ja'Marr Chase finished the game. Eight catches, 201 yards, and that touchdown as the Bengals blew out the Ravens 41-17. Both teams are 5-2, but with a tiebreaker, Cincinnati leads that division and the conference.
It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah.
And when you look at the year that Ja'Marr Chase is having, 35 catches, 754 yards, and six touchdowns.
He's having
a year. The next leading receiver on his team is Tyler Boyd with 329 yards.
Yeah, he's not doing much.
Chase is lighting it up. He's the only guy that could steal Offensive Rookie of the Year from Mac Jones. It's really down to those two. And the Patriots better win for Mac to be able to have a better case against Chase.
Any chance Kyle Pitts gets into the conversation?
Nah, I don't think so.
I think Chase,
bad start.
It'll help because he's going to be on a good team, or at least it seems like he's on a good team, and so that could certainly
help. Would
you
like two interesting rookie nuggets for you guys?
Sean, of course I would.
Ja'Marr Chase now has the most receiving yards ever in NFL history in the first seven games of a career.
How about that?
And Kyle Pitts has the most tight end receiving yards in the first seven, or actually six. It would be seven. He also has the most through seven, even though he's only played six.
How about that? Couple of good nuggets there, Shime.
Yeah. Pitt's 163 yards are the fourth most by a rookie tight end in a single game all time, trailing Jackie Smith, Mike Ditka, and Mark Bavaro.
I think we're getting a little loose with the term tight end, too, with Kyle Pitts, but whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. It's fine.
It's
fine. He technically, you got to
be. Couldn't block any of us.
No. All right, let's go to the Raiders and Eagles.
Hey, what happened?
Headline. As Carr throws to the end zone, touchdown, Brian Edwards.
One of two touchdown passes for Derek Carr as the Raiders beat the Eagles 33-22. Las Vegas, 5-2, back-to-back wins after saying goodbye to John Gruden.
Derek Carr, 31 of 34 with two touchdowns and an interception.
Like the highest completion percentage of all time or something like that?
Pretty good. Yeah. And they ran for 119 yards.
Or like with a certain amount of
Derek
attempts.
Carr is the only quarterback in NFL history to have two games of over a 90% completion percentage.
There it is.
The
pretty
rest
crazy.
Of the NFL in the history has a combined one.
The Raiders are not great. But they're going to have a good enough year to be able to get into the postseason and justify their existence.
Nothing to sneeze at.
But they're not a great, they're not a real contender. But you got to admire them considering the kerfluffle with Gruden.
Oh, yeah. There was one.
I'm not a racist.
There was one undefeated team going into the weekend. That was the Arizona Cardinals. They were facing the Texans. Are they still undefeated?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, of course they are.
Wide open. He hit Zach Ertz. Ertz, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Arizona.
Zach Ertz playing in his first game since getting traded to Arizona, had 3 catches for 66 yards and a touchdown. Kyler Murray had 3 through the air. They blow out the Texans 31-5. So the Cardinals are 7-0. Houston drops to 1-6.
I know that we have all made big predictions at one point in time during this show. And I brought up Zach Ertz once, and the reaction was he's washed.
Yes.
Is he still washed playing on a good team, or is this career resurgence for this guy? Because I think it was when we did our 4-pack of picks or something. It was the, remember, it was preseason game or something like when Ertz came up.
Yeah. And I know you were down on him.
I
was definitely down on Ertz, but I feel like in that offense, maybe he's going to be sort of the fourth guy or whatever. Like, that could be a perfect spot for him.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm a little higher on him than you are, but you put him in this offense and
pretty good.
Yeah.
He was in not a lot of perfect lineup.
Yeah, he's probably not going to get a lot of targets, but he'll be a touchdown machine.
Yeah, he could be.
Yeah, I agree. He's going to open up the middle of the field for them and make it easier for guys like DeAndre Hopkins, who, by the way,
when
you look at the year that guy's having. He had 53 yards and a touchdown yesterday on 7 catches, but D-Hop is.
I love him so much.
He's massive this year.
I mentioned how there was one undefeated team. There was also one defeated team going into the weekend, and it was the Matt Stafford Bowl between the Rams and Lions.
What happened?
Well, the Lions tried everything they could possibly do to pull the upset.
And it's a fake again! They faked the punt for the second time! Sidelines.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dan Campbell threw the kitchen sink at him. After they scored their first touchdown in the first quarter, they did an onside kick. They faked 2 punts. They covered the number, so give them credit for that. But
on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Yeah, they still lost 28-19. Matt Stafford against his former team, 334 yards, 3 touchdowns. Half the yards and 2 of the touchdowns to Cooper Kupp.
How is Cooper Kupp still performing at this level? He had 10 freaking catches for 156.
Shime has the number on Cooper Kupp here.
No, I was going to mention, Gresh, did you hear about how they have breakfast together every morning?
Oh, yes.
So that helps.
Oh, yeah. I heard about all that jazz. But
Shime, what was the number you told me about fantasy numbers for Cooper
Kupp? Oh, yeah. Cooper Kupp has the most fantasy points ever for a wide receiver in any league. Standard, half PPR, PPR.
7 games.
Ever through 7 games. And that includes like the Randy Moss 07 season, everything. Nobody's better.
So is this guy a great player or is he just...
Yes.
He has to be.
He was really good two years ago with Jared Goff.
I think you have to put him on that list. It was like when Adam Thielen had like a touchdown for like 8 straight weeks and people are like, is Thielen good? You're like, yeah, he is. So the Rams are 6-1. Lions are 0-7. And then on Sunday Night Football, the Colts beat the Niners. And worth mentioning, the Colts now have the same record as the Pats at 3-4. And Shanahan was kind of, Garoppolo's our quarterback next week, but, you know, Trey's hurt.
He said, I guess.
So that's sort of a mess. But there you go. There's the look around the NFL here. Week 7, of course, wraps up tonight with Saints and Seahawks.
And the New England Patriots, in terms of conference order, 9th right now. And again, had they beat Miami, they would have been 7th.
That was all God.
We keep going back to that. Hey, make sure you're following us on Twitter, at Gresh Keefe, at Keefe21, at The Real Gresh, G-R-E-S-H. And Deshaun Watson might have a new address sooner than later. The latest on the disgruntled quarterback of the Houston Texans, next.
Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe.
Yeah, it's a no for me.
On EEI.
So we went through week 7 in the NFL, and one of the names that wasn't mentioned because he hasn't gotten out onto the field just yet would be Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans. 1250 Gresh and Keefe here with you on this Patriots Monday. So, apparently, the Deshaun Watson trade market is now finally starting to heat up a little bit. There are the usual suspects, according to various reports. But let's turn to our guy, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, who has got the very latest on Watson, and it is not a streamlined process.
As of right now, Deshaun Watson is still a member of the Houston Texans, but there is a belief, a good chance, I would say, if that is not the case by the time the November 2nd trade deadline rolls around. I'm told that the Houston Texans have been engaged with multiple teams. I know there was a report last week about the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins do have some interest. Obviously, there has been some dialogue with the Houston Texans, but they are not alone. Another team to watch, the Carolina Panthers. They have not been shy about making a trade. As GM Scott Fitterer once said, they want to be in every trade. I would expect them to have conversations as well. There may be other teams. The Eagles have been another team that have been rumored to be interested in Deshaun Watson. And, of course, there are several other factors. His legal situation is, as yet, right now, unresolved. That is another factor to consider, and we should also add, if a team does trade for Deshaun Watson, who is in good shape and ready to play right now, the indications from the NFL is that he would not be placed on the commissioner's exempt list, because that is essentially, if you have been charged with a violent crime or a felony, that does not appear right now to apply to Deshaun Watson. So the belief is he would be eligible to play immediately upon trade.
Good Lord.
Okay.
All right. So what do we make of all of that? And apparently, according to another report, Watson shot down going to Philadelphia.
So he has a no trade clause, which is a factor in all of this. And it would just make me so mad if I was Nick Caserio. It would drive me nuts. And I think, I don't know if I'd be able to, like, with a player like this who has to realize how difficult he is to trade. Mm-hmm. Because of everything that's going on off the field with him, and then also trying to get the right amount in return. So he wasn't going to play with you anyway. Here's the other part of it. He was like, I'm not going to play with you. And you're like, oh, he's going to hold out there in Houston. Then all the off-field stuff comes to light. And so it's like, all right, well, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? He does the whole thing during camp where he kind of shows up but doesn't play. So he's not getting fined. He's getting paid, and he's not playing. And now, let's say they work out this great deal with Philly, and he's like, no, I'm not going to Philly. I would be so tempted to say, all right, then you'll never play again. Like, ever. We'll just keep you.
You'll sit here and rot.
Yep. Which is terrible business, but it would be like, that's why I guess you can't take it personally. But if I was in the front office with Houston, I'd be like, you wanted to be traded. We found a place to trade you where we were happy with the return. And it's another NFL team. We didn't trade you to Europe. Like, we traded you to Philadelphia. And you're like, no, I want to go to Miami. I'd be like, all right, well, you're not playing ever again. You're 26. Sit out. Again, you can't do that, but I would really be tempted to do that.
Well, I would think that the person who'd be getting dog cussed the most would be the offensive coordinator at Alabama, Bill O'Brien, for giving Deshaun Watson a contract with a freaking no trade clause. Like, what are you doing? This is the NFL.
There's not many in the NFL, right? Isn't Garoppolo have one randomly? There's not many.
And I think it might be limited at best. Like, to give him the blanket no trade, what's he, a 10-5 rule pitcher? Like, he can shoot the move down? Yeah. That's what it feels like, and I'm with you. You know,
I'll just say screw you.
I would be so tempted to be like, fine, you can just sit on the shelf, and if you just want to collect your money, you collect your money, but if you really want to play, then you got to work with us to be able to figure it out. Now, let's also remember that the Philadelphia Eagles are armed with the most currency because they do own the first-round pick of the earlier mentioned Miami Dolphins, which right now, that's like the number two pick in the draft after the Lions.
Right.
So you're dangling something of massive value.
They do.
That the Dolphins that trade.
That was bizarre.
The whole second one where he traded back up in the first round. And I know it got him Jalen Waddle, which I understand.
He's good.
But if they had that pick, it would sure as hell make it much easier for Miami.
They have the Niners
facilitate
pick.
Right.
Which at this point actually looks like it might be better than what you anticipated going into the year.
There's definitely a little bit of that there. There's no question.
So Jimmy Garoppolo, DeAndre Hopkins, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, and Russell Wilson. In Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, according to this
who
website.
Who went to the Chiefs,
all have no trade clauses, according to this.
How does Laurent?
I have no idea. Duvernay clearly, the Chiefs threw that in there. I don't know.
Well, he is a brainy doctor, so maybe he got one over on a negotiation.
But this thing is so maddening that is Deshaun Watson only going to approve a deal with Miami? And if so, if you're Miami, you're like, oh yeah, a third round pick. Like, if it's the only place that he wants to go.
Here's your three. Maybe we'll throw in a two next year.
Yeah, like, okay, here's a conditional four. Like, you don't need to give him anything if that's the only place he's going to go. I mean, Caserio is in a brutal, brutal spot to try to maximize value. I mean, you would think, on the one hand, get rid of him, get rid of this headache, and move on as a franchise. But on the other hand, you wait till the end of the year. You know exactly what picks you're getting in return. Oh, by the way, do you want a quarterback in return in this deal? Because there was those other reports that said Tua would go to Washington in a side deal. And there's also not a true number one quarterback in this draft. So even if you did obtain a really high draft pick, there isn't Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence in this draft. So, I mean, the Houstons are porked.
Hot take. Next year, get ready, because Deshaun Watson will be a Miami Dolphin. And Aaron Rodgers will be a Cleveland Brown. And the AFC
will be tough.
Will look very different this year.
Yeah, it will.
It'll be more like the NFC is this year, where you look at those teams at the top and you see some of the quarterback play. I think it's coming. Right. We better get ready here in New England, because I think the tide is about to change. Mm. Patriots beat the Jets. What Bill Belichick said about Justin Herbert, I don't think I've ever heard Bill Belichick say what he said earlier today about an opposing quarterback. You will hear that audio in 5 minutes with Gresh and Keith.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.